Hey there, welcome to another episode of Dead Frog Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe Felix. Here with me today, we have Allison Kloster.
Hello, everybody.
Our fantastic and always reliable host that comes in with the best comedy info. Today, she's going to tell us a little bit more about Ali Wong and the clip that we're going to talk about, which is Ali Wong's 2014 appearance on The Late Night with Seth Meyers. Please tell us more about Ali. Ali?
Absolutely. First of all, she's got a great name. well, she's an Alexandra. Fun fact, I'm an Allison. Ali Wong was raised in San Francisco. She had, her dad was a doctor, mom's a social worker, so she was very studious. I'm looking at her Wikipedia, and she was class president in high school. She went to UCLA, and when she was at UCLA, she discovered her love of theater. She ended up joining this theater company called LCC Theater Company, which is the nation's largest and oldest Asian American theater company. Pretty cool. After college, she was straight up a Fulbright scholar. So I saw it on her Wikipedia. I did not do further research. I'm sure it's true. But I want to like look it up because I'm fascinated by that. It's crazy to me when comedians are like, like that's such a cool thing, a Fulbright scholar. And she studied in Vietnam. After that, she came back to the States and she started doing stand up when she was 23, and she performed like 9 times a night. A lot of work that she put in, and it was, she graduated from college in 2005. So I'm guessing that was like 2006. So about like 5 years later was when she started getting appearances on TV shows, her national, I guess, debut in 2011. And in 2014, that's the year of this clip. She also was a series regular on an ABC medical drama. And she was a guest star inside Amy Schumer. So while she was doing stand-up, she was doing drama, you know, TV, like she was doing a lot of stuff. And also in 2014 is when she started writing as a staff writer for 3 seasons on Fresh Off the Boat. She got that job recommended to her by Randall Park, who was the lead on that show and the co-writer of Always Be My Maybe, which she started in 2019. Ali's first big Netflix special was in 2016, Baby Cobra, when she was pregnant. And she's voiced the lead on Tuca and Birdie. She wrote a book. She does it all. And it's not surprising for someone who has just always, just looking at her past, just really taken a bite out of knowledge and expanding all the stuff that she can do. And you can kind of translate that to her style of comedy. It's very like dense but easy to understand. Like she packs so much in and it's so seamless. So that's a little bit about Ali.
That was fantastic. Thank you for collecting that research. I do want to say this, and I don't want to seem too bitter, but I would be doing 9 open mics a night if I had the money to pay for all those one item minimums. Okay. joining Ali and me to talk about Ali is Kari Asad. I think she's one of the favorites right now in the LA comedy scene. I've seen her do stand-up several times. I was on the same bill as her once. She's been on Marcela Arguello's Women Crush Wednesdays at the Hollywood Improv. She's been on Put Your Hands Together with Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher at UCB Franklin. She's been on Good Heroine with Comedy Central's Matt Ingebretson. And I think Dave Ross also runs Good Heroine, but I'm not sure. She opened for Bill Posley's off-Broadway one-man show, The Day I Became Black. She also created a theme stand-up variety show called Kari Asad's Quinceañera, which played at the Ice House and on the Comedy Central stage. You can get to know more about her by following her on Instagram at Asad Kari Rocks. For funny, you can find her newest series called, you're going to have to jump in and tell me.
It's Kari Asad's Mini Ice Quinceañera videos. It's very packed, a lot to unload there, but you can check those out.
welcome to the pod.
Hi, thank you. Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. Thanks for reading all of that. Sorry, if I had known you were reading it out loud, I would have, sure, I thought it would be like just like typed somewhere. But thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on. Wait, I do have a question. Does Dave Ross still...
Yeah, he does. So sorry. Okay. My bad. I when I wrote that bio up back in 2019, I did not... He was not there the night I did it. So he out of sight, out of mind. Sorry, Dave Ross. Very nice man.
You know, I need to ask you something. Okay. What was the motivation for your most recent project?
Oh, I, so I'm half Mexican and Lebanese, which is like, ugh, a whole thing, you know, and, so much, you know, yeah. And, I didn't grow up around a ton of Latinos, but I did grow up around, hearing immigration stories of like families being torn apart or just people always like living in fear of being deported or just trying to make ends meet and being abused by the system that we put immigrants through. Mm-hmm. And then with Trump taking office and then watching that whole system explode, I've been trying to separate comedy and helping that, but finally I was just like, fuck it, I want to do both. So I made those series to educate people, because it's a very dark subject, and there is like a very good documentary called Immigration Nation, but I don't know how many people are watching it because it is so hard to stomach. So I've made those series to be like digestible, and I tried to give actions in the comments so that people can take part. And also I like writing about things that are that kind of help. So that is why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I commend that. That's such a great effort.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I hope people watch them. I've had good feedback. They don't have like amazing viewership or whatever, but they've been shared by some bigger accounts and stuff. So just really to like help and like, to help and make it just a little bit more digestible, because it's so easy to turn it off, to be like, I don't want to look at this anymore, because it is, it's awful. So yeah.
Well, yeah. If you're one of our three listeners, please go ahead.
Please, for the love of God, you're already here. Just do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Please play it as you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Do both.
This is becoming more interactive. Yeah. Okay. I do have one last question before we get into Ali Wong. And that's how are you? Other than the series, how are you fighting the malaise of quarantine life?
Oh boy, I've like become very into this fitness program I'm in, and that has literally, it's boring, but it's kept me sane. Like I wake up, I'm like, time to lift weights, and then I count my calories, and it's like absolutely insane. I went to go visit my parents, and I was explaining like what I'm doing, and I was like, wow, I sound like a fucking insane person right now.
No, I'm impressed. I went to go visit my parents, and I was out of town for like about a month, and I kid you not, I come back and I see that I gained 7 pounds. Oh my god, how does that happen?
It happens. I think we all need to, when we all see each other again, just be, you know, everyone's gonna look different. You know, yeah. And and you don't know, like some people, like they see someone has thinned out and they're like, oh, that's good. It's not always good, you know. So like sometimes that happened, right? Because they went a little cuckoo and that's how that came out. So like, you know, everyone's just got to smile longer when we see each other. Yeah.
I love that. Just, like, I love that.
Hold our tongue, you know, a bit, you know, just chill into this.
That's such a good premise. Absolutely.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
Like everyone comes back and they're like, who are you?
Who are you? You look good, I think. I don't want to talk about it if it's dark.
I do have to ask. You mentioned that you were lifting weights. Are you one of these people who was part of the new bootleg? Like it feels like we're in bootleg times with weights now.
Maybe,
do you,
yeah.
Do you have weights?
I have one pair of weights. It's a 15. They're 15ers, and they're okay. Breaking, to be honest. I need a new set. They're not, like, break. They're, like, just, like, the padding's falling off. But, like, I have a really – this trainer, his name's Tori. He goes by I Build Badasses. So I guess, yeah, I am a part of that. Now that I say it out loud, I'm like, actually, yes, you are correct. he is a really good trainer, though. And he kind of like, he made affordable prices during the beginning of quarantine. So I like kind of jumped on in there. And he's been really great. He's really great. Like my whole obsessive, that's like just me, you know. But he's really great. So I've been doing that. So I feel like yes, but also I'm like, you know, it's just the 15ers.
I feel like those go for a lot nowadays, even in their tattered condition.
Yeah, it is. And he's like designed the workout so that it's still like really fucking hard. Like he finds ways for it to be hard. So it is like, it's just, but I find if I don't work out, I just like, one time I was at work and I was like so mad and everyone was just like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, you know, I should probably find a way to balance this out. So I have to work out or else I turn into like a She-Hulk and like,
I'm like, that's yeah. Nice. I mean, you know your limits, you know what helps you stay mentally there. I get that. That's yeah, good.
Exactly.
Very briefly, Allie and a few others and myself were doing this two a days at the beginning of quarantine.
And we gotta do those again, Joe. We gotta do those again.
Oh no, I'm getting too strong.
I'm getting too strong.
Well, I could use that. I'll do 3 days. We can do the one a day, and I'll pick up yours.
Okay. Yeah. But. I got slighted at the end of it because someone said, you see, Joe, if you can do 2 workouts a day, that probably means you can be more productive throughout your day in general.
Who said that?
Who said that? I don't know. Someone said that.
who on earth was it? Like your dog? Like who is talking to you about this stuff? Like your brother?
That is a good question. Who are you surrounding yourself with at this time?
You need to cut your dog out of your life if your dog is saying this to you, Joe.
I don't know. I'm just trying drama for fun.
Is it anyways, the dog? Okay.
No, my dog encourages my working out. Okay.
Let's listen to this Allie Wong clip. Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to listen to 2014's Allie Wong. Wait, nope. We're going to listen to Allie Wong. In the year of 2014, on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And you'll hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye.
My next guest is a very funny comedian headlining the Atlanta Improv June 5th through 7th. Please welcome Allie Wong.
Everybody, hi. I'm very excited to be here. It's been a big year for me. I turned 32, and in January, I got engaged. My boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years, and I just had this sneaking suspicion that he was gonna propose because I had been pressuring him to do it. That's how proposals really work, okay? A woman has to incept the idea into the man's head. First passively, and then if he doesn't get the message, extremely aggressively. You gotta threaten to leave without ever actually leaving because you know that you're too old and it's too late to find a new man and start the whole manipulation cycle all over again. So you're like, I'm just gonna chip away at this dude until he caves in and is like, shut the hell up! Will you marry me? And then afterwards, the woman is always like, oh my God, he proposed. And look, he got me the exact ring I wanted. Maybe he saw it on my Pinterest page or something. Let me tell you something. If a man has a Pinterest page, he's probably Pinterested in men. You know, People are always very surprised at how offstage I'm a completely different person with my boyfriend. I'm very nurturing and domestic. I am. I pack his lunch every single day. I do that so that he'll become dependent on me. Because he graduated from Harvard Business School, and I don't want to work anymore. I straight up don't want to work anymore, okay? I've been reading that book by Sheryl Sandberg. She's the COO of Facebook, and she wrote that book that got women all riled up, talking about how we need to challenge ourselves in our careers to sit at the table and rise to the top. And her book is called Lean In. Well, I don't want to lean in, okay? I want to lie down. And just do prenatal yoga every day, even if I'm not pregnant. And just count the millions that my husband is busy making while I use a stroller as a shopping cart. My boyfriend eats gluten-free, so now I gotta eat all this bread that tastes like free-range Chewbacca. I gotta eat this bread that's like 1,000% of your daily fiber and 20% slam poetry. And I had a meltdown with him and I said, we're too healthy. I don't need to be this healthy because I'm an Asian woman and guaranteed to live until I'm a billion. Guaranteed, like a tortoise from the Galapagos, okay? We all know the phrase, black don't crack. Well, Asian don't die. We don't die. We live forever. And you know why we're such bad drivers? Because we're trying to die. We're like, yeah, let me see how invincible I really am. It's not fun getting that old, okay? My mom is 80, going through a full-blown midlife crisis. Because she knows that she's got a century more to go. And she's lonely. All she does every day, she just goes to the park and does this. She does that in her big-ass hat, her big-ass visor, umbrella shade, Boba Fett helmet. She wears that to protect herself from her arch nemesis, the sun. They're in a contest to see who's gonna burn out first. Old Asian ladies and the sun are like the Tupac and Biggie of longevity. All right, I've been Ellie Wong. Thank you.
Thank you. Ellie Wong, everyone. Follow her on Twitter, at EllieWong3000. We'll be right back.
Damn. That Ellie Wong.
That Ellie, she's a trickster.
She is. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing. She's the best. I love her.
Some real knee slappers.
There are.
Oh, man. Why Ellie Wong?
Well, I feel like the first thing may sound like I'm dismissing her talent, but I do. It is, like, important to me to, like, notice other women of color and when I get the chance to promote them. But that aside, I think she's, like, fucking amazing and brilliant. Like, it doesn't matter that she is also a woman of color. I would have picked her anyways, I guess is what I'm saying. But,
I love that.
She's so funny. And I guess, like, the comedy nerd in me loves listening to her jokes because to me they're structured so well.
Yes.
And it's like structured so well. It's like the act out helps, but also like on the page it works, you know, like I don't want to lean in. I want to lay down, you know, it's like so good parallels, such good like flips and And I don't know, there's something about her demeanor and her monotone speaking, and also the way she kind of flips from, it's like she's monotone, but then she starts yelling, which makes me laugh harder.
Yes.
And I think there's like a warmth to her, even though she's, I wouldn't call her character on stage warm, but like her herself, watching her perform, there is like a warmth there that I'm like very attracted to, and I want her, I'm rooting for her like immediately.
It's cozy. Yeah. There's something about her.
Yeah, she's just great. And I think that was it initially when I first saw it, was just I loved the jokes. And also what I really love about her that I think is hard to do is she writes about her bliss, like what makes her happy. I find a lot of comics, including myself, have a hard time doing that. Like, I think we usually try to dig up embarrassing moments. I all of my comedy, I feel like, is about embarrassing moments. But, like, I love that she wrote basically a whole hour on the love of her life and her new family, which is, like, also, like, comedians, a female comic, it's like, oh, your life is over, you know, because you chose happiness, you dumb whore. But she, like, you know, she came back and she became even more famous as a pregnant female comic, which is like outstanding.
Oh yeah, definitely. She,
yeah,
that it's almost unbelievable how much she I guess attacked men in the, and I don't mean this in a way where she's like against men, I'm like in the, you know, guys, like as you're mentioning, they're like, oh, I'm gonna be bummed out, I'm gonna do this and that on stage, right? Oh,
right, no. Yeah.
And she's like, and what more challenging to that sort of like notion of like a straight white dude than like an Asian pregnant woman,
right?
Who's killing, yeah. And who's showing.
Yeah, she's fucking showing, and she shows off her underwear like so many times in both specials. It's so funny.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I mean, if you think about Louis C.K., like, you know, rest in peace, but like you know, all of his bits are like you know, now we realize very like the sexual weirdness wasn't just a quirk, you know, but like,
yep,
but like he built so much off of he kind of pushed inappropriate boundaries, he's the n-word, he like you know, I liked it when he talked about his kids, honestly, I liked that. But he has like that weird, I'm just like remembering he had like a bit about like a rat and he like fingers the rat, you know, it's like so weird. And like, I feel like a lot of guy comics like get to really push that weird envelope, which is like fine, you know, if that's what you identify with. But sometimes it gets old, and it's nice to see someone talk about things that other, especially women, go through. So,
yeah, and right away she starts her set off on a positive note. Like, honestly, forget crowd work. I'm always now going to say that I've just gotten engaged.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets a big applause, honestly.
Yeah, but what does she do right before that? She says, I turned 32 and I'm engaged. And I think when I watched it the second time, I was like, why did she say that she's 32? That has nothing to do with having a good year. Then I was like, oh, in the first sentence, she ended up setting up the later joke of her age. Meaning like, oh, I need to lock him down now because if we break up, then I'm too old for it.
Right.
And so it's like, she so organically like makes everything relevant. And that is just in the first sentence, she like foreshadowed a later joke.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah,
it is. It is really cool.
That's a good observation. I definitely took that for granted, that piece of information.
Me too. Yeah, because it's really not that big of a deal, but it's like, and yet like, cause she says it, but then the more important thing is look at my hand. She's so skilled, not only in the writing of that first sentence, but in the, it's kind of like a magician when they put out both hands and they have one thing in the one hand and there's nothing in the other hand. It's like, she's like disguising you, you know? And so she's like, don't look over here. The thing about me being 32, you don't even notice that I'm writing the joke structurally, yeah, because I want you to look at my next thing, which is I got engaged, and look at my hand physically. So it's like literally she's building the joke up and you don't even notice it. And I just, until later, I mean, I watched these things with an eye for that, but like, if I wasn't doing a podcast on it, I wouldn't have even noticed that she told me she was 32. I would have gone on, but I just really think that she's very, skillful as like a writer magician in that way. And I think that's, she did it right out the gate.
Yeah. I agree. I've always felt like, that, yeah, being a comedian is almost like being a poet or a magician, where it's all about like economy of words and the way you unfold information. Like, and I agree that it's like she's constantly putting an image out in front of us and then she's flipping it very,
exactly,
very quickly. And it's so precise and it's so good.
Yes. That word precise is, I think, one of the, yes, exactly how I describe her. Like, even every single motion, like, I love how she projects the image of the quote unquote, like, proper Asian American woman at first. And she's like, I got engaged. And then, bam, she ends up like instantly with a big physical move, like with the, I forget how she started saying it, what the exact words were, but I just love how she's like, oh, you think that you're going to get this, but just kidding. And she shifted on a dime and it was very precise.
Yeah. I think it might be, I got in, I had a feeling he was going to propose because I was pressuring him to.
Yes.
That's like the first like flip.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's just like these little like, and it's almost like she, like her, you know, her, she's so good with like her face and her voice, like, it's not, she doesn't just let the words do the joke, do the work. She also like gets really in there. I heard on a podcast that she, that when she is figuring stuff out and like now that she has the ability to, cause she's like famous now, she'll go into clubs and actually just read her jokes in like kind of a quiet voice to see if the writing holds up all by itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then once that passes that test, then she goes into the like handiwork of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's such a beautiful, like that. Yeah. Cause her one-liners throughout it are so solid. So
yeah,
you kind of get distracted cause you're like, oh, she's so physically funny to watch, but you know, cause you could even watch her whole set just on mute and it's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like there's two performances going on.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, when I feel like, especially being like a newer comedian, you kind of learn to write short jokes, especially if you live in Los Angeles, because you have short time on stage, but you learn to write short jokes. But then like more experienced comedians kind of get into these like rant jokes where it's almost like a flow of consciousness. And you're like, I'm laughing. I'm not really sure what the punchline is, but it's fucking funny what this person's doing. And it's cool. I feel like she does both and she flows between both effortlessly. I think it's like, even like she ends on a rant in this where she talks about her mom battling the sun.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. She's like, it's like it ends on a rant, but like it starts with them talking about Asians never die.
Yes.
And yes. I love what she does with the Asian driver joke, like just totally flips it on its head.
I do too.
Yeah.
If we could go back to like how she clearly introduces the, like almost like she wants the atomic family structure,
right? Mm-hmm.
and she wants to be successful within that paradigm of like existing. But I like that, like the moment she starts talking about how women need to implant the idea of marriage into like a man's head.
Yes.
One, it's very heteronormative, which is like whatever, right?
Yeah.
We can like play within, like we can kind of joke about that being a reality that some people still work within. Like some people are still just like they play into these gender roles,
right?
And but also it always, every time I hear someone talk about marriage on stage, I'm reminded of I forget his name, who is counter to Matt Ingebretson on that show on Comedy Central.
Oh damn, let me look.
Well, he has a joke that he used to do a lot, not Matt but the other guy, that said heterosexuality is my prison.
I think it's Jake Weissman.
Jake Weissman, yeah. He would do Heterosexuality is my Prison. And like when I was listening to this set, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it sucks being heterosexual. Like,
do you, meaning like you were in on the joke with her, or like you think that you felt bad for what she was going through?
Oh, like, no, because of like, I guess, the role that like her fictional, or like, I guess how she claims her boyfriend to be, or just boyfriends in general, mm-hmm. where, she like people have to work within the realm of like men not really looking for that, but being at an odds with your partner where it's like, oh, I do want that. And then not being fulfilled until like you kind of have to put your foot down to say, oh, we should get married. We're going to get married.
Oh, okay. So you're saying the very first joke with her being manipulating guys into thinking that it's time to get married. You say you're, I mean, I felt like, I see what you're saying. I took it as her, I mean, this whole thing tongue in cheek and that, I don't know. I think that she was aware of that. And also, I mean, especially with the rest of what she ended up saying with regards to like him being from Harvard and she wants to do nothing. I think because I'm seeing her on stage at Seth Meyers and I know all her whole career and how much of like clearly she's a woman who cannot sit still and be that trophy wife, quote unquote. I think because I can feel and see what kind of woman she is, I took all of her saying that with a grain of salt.
Oh yeah.
And I know you're so I guess like you're thinking that she's critiquing that, or are you just said her critique of it made you feel like
I think
bad for the construct so of well it?
That it might go over some people's heads. I think she does play.
I see.
Yeah, super well.
I didn't think about that. I think that's a good question. I would like to think it didn't go over people's heads, because why would they be laughing? I guess they would laugh. I don't know. I like to think
they might be laughing in like agreement, or like we do have sure. to tell men to
yeah, kind of like yeah. I mean, I think by I don't know. I don't maybe a slight minority of people would, but there's something about her just quick, precise confidence and navigation that like she just projects very much like an independent person. And I know that, and I think that, I don't know. I feel like if I were to show this to like a person, like, I don't know, a Karen from the Midwest, I don't know what she would think. I would assume that she would look at this woman and automatically be intimidated because she's this confident woman of color on stage. And she probably would have people even on that side of issues, I guess, would know, would be threatened by that in a certain way. And they probably would already, I don't know, have their guards up, their liberal guards. Oh, she's a liberal. She must be tongue in cheek. I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it, but,
I don't know. I'm not, wait, Joe, so you saying she brings up gender norms and it makes you feel like gender norms suck. Is that what you were saying?
Oh, yeah, and to begin with, I think they do suck.
But, okay. And to begin with, just to be clear, they fucking suck. Yeah, I don't know, when I first actually saw her special, and she goes a lot further into the I don't want to lean in, I want to lay down in her special, and she talks about all the girls who prove they can go to work, and she's like, shut up, don't tell them the secret. I remember it kind of hit me weird. I was like, Allie, don't. And then I had to be like, it's a fucking joke, you know? And
right.
And I personally really love her bit about I would have to manipulate someone all over again. Just, I'm in a long-term relationship and I don't think I've manipulated Mark, but I do think that I have influenced him, you know, in some ways.
Right.
So yeah. I really appreciated that. Like, I thought it was really funny. And I think a lot of women, especially if you've been with someone for a very long time, you know, you almost have to create a secret way to not hurt their feelings, but also be like, I need you to do this, you know, like you have to, you know, because you see each other every day and you can't just like get frustrated and be like, love me more or whatever, you know. Yeah, I really love it when she says, comedians are surprised when I'm so nice to my husband because I'm not nice to them. And it's like, yes, this is my husband. I'm nice to him. Also, I want him to need me.
I love that. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if this is making sense, but I kind of.
No, it is.
Yeah, yes.
I like the way she explains kind of like, this is professional facing Ali. I can be out with the boys and the girls and stand up, but also I have to go home and give him a different show.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're having this discussion and that kind of made Joe uncomfortable and you uncomfortable. And yeah, I would agree too. Like at first you're like, oh, come on. But I think that she's kind of challenging. I mean, if she's kind of making us liberals, like I'm sure she is too, but like it's she's kind of poking everybody. And I like that, you know, if we're a little uncomfortable, you know, I still trust her even though I'm uncomfortable. And then, you know, she finds her way out. And then I see that I feel fine with that.
Also, like she does work so hard, and I've heard her say in interviews, actually it was in her second special where she's like, all I want to do is make more money and work less, which I think is something, gender aside, we can all wish for. Yeah. So it makes sense. You know, she did nine, like you said earlier, you know, her work ethic, she did 9 mics in fucking New York City every night and had to be friends with Randall Park. Just kidding. I'm sure that's very pleasant. And, you know, so it makes sense that she's saying, I want to lay down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what I should have said from the beginning, right, was it's so great that she creates a juxtaposition with someone, like with her reality, which is she's very hardworking, to what her aspirations are. I think we could have avoided this whole thing.
Well, no, I'm glad you said it because it's part of it too. You know, like
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about this Pinterest joke? That
was actually my least favorite joke. I thought that was the laziest joke.
Yeah, it is pretty lazy. I would agree. It's pretty lazy.
I was like, yeah.
It's like very pre like Me Too, pre like the Awakening. You know, of everyone being like, what is the world? Burn it down. You know, I feel like it's a very road joke, you know, like you can take that to like small towns and they're going to laugh at that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it, but I don't love it. You know, it's like, it is what it is. It's slightly homophobic, which is not cool. And ultimately you're right, it's lazy. It's just like I feel like it's kind of, for if I were to say a joke like that, it'd be like, because I want to know who these people are, so I would say, because like how they react to that, just say who this audience is. Yeah.
You would test your audience. You'd be like, okay, let's see where their moralisms are.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm gonna sprinkle off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I feel like traveling, that's the hardest part. You're like, I sometimes look up what the county voted before I get on stage.
That's funny. That makes sense. Yeah. Because
it was county by county how that broke up. so yeah. Yeah, not my favorite, but it's fine, you know.
It's fine.
we did touch a little on the nurturing and being domestic. 2 minutes ago, we also talked about the lean in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she wants to lie down. It's really good. It's really
great.
Good intonation.
It's so good. It's a great magician move. It's a great.
Yes. And even the physicality of it. It's just, I mean, it's just so funny. She does it perfectly. And it's like, it's cute. And I know I shouldn't say that it's cute because but it's cute.
It is cute. She puts her own arm, her own head on her arm and closes her eyes. It's very, very cute.
Yeah. I love it.
How about, it's like, we call it idiosyncratic.
There you go. Yes. I mean, that's truly, that's her brand. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, any good stand-up comic, and but it's how they manifest it in their own personality. But yeah, she's definitely a decent character. I agree. I love those. What was the joke after? What is she? I'm scrubbing through the the video of it.
The stroller. Like she wants to do prenatal yoga every day, even when she's not pregnant. Or she wants to be shopping while using a stroller as a shopping cart.
Oh, it's funny because as I was listening to this bit before she said the stroller thing, but it really hit home when she said it. I started thinking to myself, oh, this is before, like, she's just engaged. So she doesn't have a kid. But the thought occurred to me, I'm like, oh, I see the seeds planted here for how she will become such a classic, like, I'm a mom who's a stand-up comedian. Like, right. You know, even before she has a kid, you can feel that, like, that I just want to take a break and relax. Like,
right.
Her brand, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. I work at Hoo Ha Ha, and we put together a clip video for Mother's Day of all of her bits, not just stand up, but also her on like Ellen and stuff. And it did huge, like the mothers fucking loved it because it was all her just saying like, I made them spaghetti, you know, so because I'm tired and they don't get dessert or something, you know, like it was all about how fatigued she was as a mother.
No, go on, Joe.
If I can be vulnerable here,
sure.
only in like through media and shows like, I mean, and like stand up like this, am I starting to get more and more like of an understanding into like the desires of like, I don't want to say women as a whole, but like of women, it's like, oh
sure,
yeah, like you're aware.
I get it.
That's you know, it's a maybe a stereotype of women using shopping cart or strollers as shopping carts, and you're like, yeah, but also I want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that links back to what we were talking about earlier, what Carter was talking about when she said how her positivity, how she focuses on, by her focusing on positive things and adding things instead of being like, oh, I, you know, negative, 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 you're able as an audience member to also start to look at her and then everybody else like in a positive way. I think this is a good example of like the rubbing off effect of a person with an attitude like her. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that made sense.
No, it's like she kind of, it's like, I think the ability of her to be able to kind of do the impossible by doing this stand-up, her whole set is kind of doing the impossible. It makes you feel like things are possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And yes. Thank you. Said it was very awesome.
No,
yes.
That's okay. That's how I felt watching it. I was like, this is amazing. Just like,
yeah,
it made me happy, you know, that she is happy, because I feel like so often mm-hmm. stand-ups are really explaining why they are fucked up. And it's like, you know, we get it. We get it. And I'm sure Ali Wong has her own business,
of course.
You know, but yeah. It is like nice. It is nice to dream of a better world.
yeah.
We are like knee deep in 2020. Sorry, we are waist deep in 2020. We still got the second half.
Like this, I think that the healthy eating thing, it plays off the my experience growing up where I do is I was a lot around a lot of Asian folk, and I've heard a lot of them say like, you know, white people, they're kind of like too finicky with their food, right? It's like, just eat what you have to eat, you know, don't be nitpicky and stuff like that. So I feel like that's a cultural entry point that she's talking about, where she's like, yeah, gluten-free bread, like in such few words, she's bringing up that conversation.
Yeah, that was really funny, especially like we don't know in this set, but in the special she reveals they're both Asian, which is like racist, but it's funny that they are free bread. Just based on
You're right. She doesn't say that in this one. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it is an interesting cultural point. And maybe she doesn't bring it up so then she can do the whole Asians don't die bit. Because if she brought up the fact they're both Asian, then it'd be like, why, you know, then it's like they both will live. But now, but the bit is telling, it's her telling him, I don't need to eat healthy because I'm going to live forever. You know? Yeah.
I get it. See, that's another magician's move. Yeah. She purposely withholds words for that. Yeah. Nice.
And because I don't remember that Asians don't die in her Baby Cobra special. I could be wrong, but I don't
either.
Yeah.
This is the first time I feel like I've heard this. I mean, I was, gosh, that this part of the set had me laughing the most. The Asians don't die. And then the whole killing ourselves the reason why from driving. I lost it.
Yeah, it's so good that I love her rant on that. Like, we're trying to die. I also, it's a rant, but also it's like a common phrase, you know, that she has made her own, which is like one of my favorite ways like a one liner can go.
Which phrase?
Is she saying the reason Asians are bad drivers is because we're trying to die? Like, there's so many premises on Asians being bad drivers.
Yes.
This, the way she does it is so, I've never heard that before. And it's a great point. They do nothing. Their stomachs are, I mean, I'm being racist saying this, but like based off their jokes, like her jokes, like their stomachs are made of iron, you know? And
I mean,
sun doesn't affect them apparently. So
no, they're in a battle with the sun, right?
Yeah, that's right. Her mother, who will burn out first.
I mean, if you think about it, this is yet another example of her having a positive punchline / she's roasting Asian drivers, but in like a positive compliment. Basically, she's here. I'm telling you this, the typical stereotypical joke of how Asian drivers are good. But it's because they live forever, which is a freaking amazing thing because they're healthy.
Yeah.
So even her roast is still like a positive thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
I agree. Yeah.
Can we quickly talk about the setup for Asians Don't Die?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I love, this is how I interpret it. Or she says, you know, black don't crack. And I expected her to make some variation of like a rhyme, right? Using Asian, and then it was just like no attempt at all.
Yeah, I love that too because I think the phrase is black don't crack and Asians don't raisin. So I love that she just like plowed into. We just don't fucking die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, her style is very, that encapsulates her kind of, you know, nice lyrical beginning to a very blunt, here's the, you know, thing.
Right.
That's how she started her set. Here's a nice, pleasant beginning, and here's the joke.
Right.
So it's kind of a nice little rhythm she's creating.
Yes, I agree. It's so great.
Yeah. Then she talks about her mom, she's a little kind of like
a
callback. Her mom being 80, having a midlife crisis. Because she still has a century more to go. Which is,
so good. Funny.
So good. I love when she says Boba Fett hat.
Two Star Wars references. Yes.
You know, then she mentions the often observed Asian, older Asian person in the park doing calisthenics thing.
So cute.
It talks about the hat, talks about, you know, being the competition, who, as you mentioned before, who will burn out first. I'm just going through the motions here because we got to wrap up. old Asian ladies and the sun are like Tupac and Biggie of longevity, which is a good comparison to leave off on. The last word is multisyllabic. So it's very funny also. And it's also a funny juxtaposition to, you know, compare, like to have Asian women fighting the sun.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
She does such a good job painting the imagery of them all, like,
yep,
at the park doing their morning workouts, you know.
She's a writer. That's, she's, yeah,
that's great. Yeah.
Any last words on this set?
I think it's great. And part of me wonders if she already knew they were gonna produce her special, just because like what she chose to do. But I don't think she's pregnant yet, so because it's 2014 in the special.
Actually, this is around the time that she probably had her miscarriages. But after that. Yeah, because she talked. I saw that also on her Wikipedia. She had two miscarriages, and she said that talking about that through stand-up comedy helped her cope with it. And then after that is when she had her child, who she was pregnant with during Baby Cobra.
Wow, that's amazing.
Here at Dead Frog Podcast, we don't shy away from issues. we will talk about miscarriages, and we will point them out every time they happen. So thanks, Allie, for the assist.
You are so welcome. If my mom didn't have a miscarriage, I wouldn't be here. So that's my responsibility.
Jenna Friedman also has great miscarriage jokes.
Nice. There we go. More miscarriage.
All right.
Trivia.
I got a fever. The only cure is more miscarriage.
That's a wonderful way to wrap up.
Please check out Kadia Saad and her at, well, she's at, can you plug your Instagram?
Yeah, it's at Asad Kari Rocks. Asadkarirocks. It's too long. I should change it, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Go check out the project she's working out, the one that she mentioned earlier, which was
Kadia Saad's mini ice quinceanera videos, and I'm going to be posting other videos there too.
And please, you know, pour one out for the podcast that she did only 3 episodes off of.
Yeah. It's still up. It's called When the Calvary Came. I got locked out of Anchor, so I don't know how to access that anymore. But yeah, listen to them. There's some fun ones.
Wait, how are you on here now?
I don't know, to be honest. It asked for my name, and that was it.
Oh, cool. Well, once again, Anchor is very easy to use. And you usually do not get locked out.
I don't know what my password is to get to see the podcast. It's When the Calvary Came. There's a really good episode about a woman, Lisa Loretta. She went to a Black Lives Matter protest and saw the cops and all that stuff. It's really good. It's also funny. So check it out.
And Allie, you're at Pack Theater almost like nightly, right?
No, I'm once a week on the Sketch Team Fever. We perform at 9 p.m. Pacific time on Twitch.
You can catch me and my weird Instagram posts that really leave people with a sense of doom. JokeFelix92. We've infiltrated the Ireland market. At one point we were like number 14 in comedy podcasts over there. Shout out to them. Shout out to the Swedes. We were big over there.
Wow.
Shout out to South Africans. We were used to be there. Anyways. I think we've killed
this frog. Yes.
Yeah, let's just go. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Yes. Let's go kill some more frog. No, just kidding.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.